To be or not to be? That is the question. Where have we heard this? To be or not to be is the opening phrase of the soliloquy spoken by Prince Hamlet in the so-called nunnery scene of William Shakespeare's play Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1. Hamlet's to be or not to be soliloquy represents his internal struggle over the purpose of human existence and the meaning of life and death. It also represents the climax of Hamlet's existential crisis that builds throughout his play. Do we struggle with the purpose of human existence and the meaning of life and death? As a Christian, we understand the purpose of life and life after death. So taking that statement and modifying it just a little bit, to forgive or not to forgive, that is the question of this study. So let's look at Wikipedia and view and define forgiveness. I didn't have this in there at first, but I went back and put it back in. Forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense that was taken to him. Let go of negative emotions such as vengefulness. Is that not a product of not forgiving? Forswears recompense from or punishment of the offender. However legally or morally justified it might be, and with an increased ability to wish the offender well. That's the hard part. That's the hard part of forgiveness, is to forgive somebody first. The hard part is, do you wish them well after you forgive them? How many times in local news have we heard someone say who just got murdered, and then the victim comes up and says, I forgive them, and I wish them well. It's rare. It's just not something that we have inside of us to forgive, number one, and number two, to wish the person we forgave to be well, to go on with their life. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to ask some questions, and we're going to answer those questions relative to forgiveness. I think we all can use this study. In 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does 2 Peter 3:9 teach us? That God is not slack concerning his promises, but is longsuffering. Why? He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should go into eternal life of hell, just to be blunt. So if we're going to act like a Christian, Christ-like, we should have the same feelings that God has, that we should not wish anything against a person, specifically that they go not go to heaven. Is that not hard for us? Shouldn't this be our attitude also? Looking again at forgiveness from Wikipedia, forgiveness is different from condoning, failure to see the action as wrong and in need of forgiveness. In other words, if you ask somebody for forgiveness, let's say you forgive somebody, you're not condoning the action. You're not condoning the action. You're asking that you forgive this person for what they have done to you. But there may be consequences from those actions. The actions that this person took, there may be consequences. Excusing, not holding the offender as responsible for the action. You're not excusing the action. You're not excusing what they did or how they treated you or what they said to you. You're not excusing that. It's wrong, it's wrong. This gentleman, Dr. Robert Enright from the University of Wisconsin, in his 20-step model of forgiveness, states the following. People who were generally more neurotic, angry and hostile in life, we're less likely to forgive another person even after a long time has passed. People who have these traits, and he went on to say, they hold them at least for 2.5 years. Studies show that people who forgive are happier and healthier than those who hold resentments. No wonder the inspired word puts such emphasis on forgiveness. All he did was validate what we already know. In the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Matthew, pay attention, we all know this by heart. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we," pick that out, "forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Notice the conditional term, "as we," as made plainer in the next two verses. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." See the conditional statement there? The term "debts" in the Lord's Prayer. I surveyed 28 translations of the word "debts." Twice the word used or substituted the word "sins." Twice the word substituted was "wrongs." One time the words was "wrongdoings." And I was looking at 28 different translations of that scripture. Vines, which I use a lot, defines debt as the Greek term ophthalmia. It's defined as a sin. It's a term that demands atonement. Let's look at Luke's passage of the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11, 1 through 4. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Notice the request for God to forgive us our sins. The term here is not conditional like it was in Matthew. The term here is an expectation. He's saying, I already do this. Forgiveness and atonement is needed when there has been some trespass against someone, or in some cases, a trespass against something. Let me give you some examples. A trespass against another individual might be lying to that individual. What does that do? What does lying to someone do? It trust is gone. There is no trust anymore. You can't trust a person who is a constant liar and lies to you. Derogatory language. If you work in public, you're going to hear it. And you're going to hear terms over and over again that we, as Christians, do not even have in our vocabulary. What about stealing? I had a boat. I had somebody steal two batteries out of my boat. It angered me. It angered me to the point that I didn't even go fishing the rest of the year because I didn't want to go out and buy two new batteries for fear of somebody might steal them again. What about things that are offensive to others? Do people do things that are offensive to you? We know what the Bible says, that if you're offended by somebody, if you are offending someone, then you need to stop it because you've offended someone. Mistreating others. Mistreating others is wrong. What about anger and problems with anger? What about physical violence? I don't know of anyone here that would like or enjoys the fact that some man beat up on his wife or some man abused a small child. These things we know are wrong, and these things we know are offensive to us. Trespass against a being. You can trespass against God. In our prayer that was offered just a minute ago, the last statement said, forgive us of our sins. What about the works of the flesh? We know all of them. Trespass against a rule or regulation. Oh boy, here we go. Speeding. Getting a speeding ticket. There's a punishment that goes along with speeding if you get caught. The guy I work with was 19 miles over the speed limit. He had a pretty hefty fine. There's a punishment. There's some type of atonement that has to be made for that trespass. He may ask for forgiveness from the police officer, but this police officer knew who he was. And because they were friends, he still wrote him up. What about falsifying IRS documents? That's what's going on IRS right now, taxes. What are some of the things that can happen? Well, you can get fined. You can have your house or property repossessed. You can get your wages garnished. You can do different things that they can take control of those things. There's some type of atonement that has to be made for breaking these laws. Jesus said in Matthew 22:21, render therefore unto Caesar that which is the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. That's our direction. That's how we need to move through this life that we're in. What does Vine say about some definitions of forgiveness? Forgiveness, to send away. To let loose. To be canceled. Gone forever. Not to be remembered anymore. How many times in a marriage relationship where you've done something wrong and you go to your spouse and say, I'm sorry. 6 months later or 25 years later, it doesn't matter which. Remember what you did? Well, that was 2 decades ago. But yeah, I asked for forgiveness and you said you forgave me. Well, did you really? Because now it's time to get one up on the person that you're arguing with. And a lot of people smiling right now. You know what I'm talking about. A lot of people nudging their spouse. Hey, that's you. He's talking about you up here. Well, you'll have to ask for forgiveness for that later. Complete removal of the cause of the offense, sin relative to eternity. The cause of the offense, when it's related to living a Christian life, is eternity in hell if you don't get forgiveness for it. Eternal damnation. Eternal meaning forever and ever and ever. That's why it's important to forgive and to get forgiven. Forgiveness will not alleviate the consequences of the behavior. If you go and say, I'm sorry for something, you still got to suffer the consequences. Remember the speeding ticket, the tax evasion? What about pregnancy outside of marriage? In most cases, the child's going to be born. Just because you ask for forgiveness doesn't mean that child's not going to be born unless you take some action outside of what's normal. What about drunk driving, drunkenness? When I was 4 years old, five, a long time ago, my parents got hit by a drunk driver and messed my mom's legs up. My mom remembers that day, every day that her legs hurt. She constantly reminds me, well, you remember, you know, when that drunk driver hit us, and we didn't get a dime out of it because he didn't have no insurance. Words spoken can ruin a relationship. Too many times we speak outside of what we should be. Too many times we don't think about what we say to someone. And the results are devastating because it can ruin relationships. People, normal people, have a problem. That problem is they remember what you said when you said it almost exactly. Especially if it was harmful or hurtful to them. So let's ask ourselves a few questions and see if we can go to the scriptures and find out the answers. What if I can't forget what has been done against me? Legitimate question. Somebody did me wrong. I'll never forget it. And I may never forgive it. Peter's second sermon in Acts 3, 12 through 26. Particularly verse 19. Peter is telling the men of Israel in verse 19, "To repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." How many people here want their sins blotted out? They want their name written in the book of life. And in order to have your name written in the book of life, you've got to be forgiven of your sins. You've got to be forgiven of your trespasses. Go back to Mr. Enright's study. When people think about forgiving an offender, it leads to improved functioning in their cardiovascular and nervous systems. How about that? They found the more forgiving people were, the less they suffered from a wide range of illnesses. The less forgiving people reported a greater number of health problems. True repentance will yield forgiveness from God. Is not the ultimate goal? So here's a study of a man that has 20 steps to forgiveness that has determined that it hurts your health if you carry this weight on you. We'll talk a little more about that in a minute. Next question. What if I don't believe that he or she really repented? You ever heard that one? What does Hebrews 4:12 say? "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Who knows the truth? God does. He knows if a person truly repents from the heart or not. So do we? Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Do we know if they truly repented from the heart? Do we have the right to question if someone truly repented or not? I mean, you got to think about this. Do we have the right to judge a person? To say, well, we'll see. We'll see if they really meant when they confess their faults. We'll see if they'll stop drinking. We'll see if they'll stop doing what they're doing, committing fornication. We'll see. Is that doubt? We have no idea what their heart's like. And we cannot judge that individual. You can only judge the actions after it happened. If a person says, "I want forgiveness for drinking and being drunken all the time," and then a week later, after they confess publicly that they were sinning, and then you see them back out behind a wheel drinking, then you can make a righteous decision and say this person did not fully repent, did they? Because repentance means turning from and not going back. As Stacy has said, if you're going this direction and you repent, you got to turn around and come back this direction. Do we have any way of knowing if they repented from the heart? There's only one person that does. One being. If they didn't fully repent, who are they ultimately going to answer to? Not me. Not you. They're going to answer to God. My favorite phrase, let it go. I've got a person at work who's in David's office. She, you'll figure out who it is later, gets really tied up and wound up. By the way, David's my boss at work. She gets wound up when things don't go right. Very particular. Very particular about her desk. Very particular about everything she does. She wants to be right on the money. Can't blame her for that. But so many times, if I've said it once, if I've said it 100 times to her, let it go. We should do the same thing. We should let it go, not carry these burdens. We've already established that it affects your health. So a question, does someone have to ask for forgiveness before you're required to forgive them? I've heard this many times. Well, they have not asked me for forgiveness, and I'm not required to forgive them. Where did you get that from? Acts 7, 57 through 60. The stoning of Stephen. And cast him, that is Stephen, out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the man's feet, whose name was Saul. We know that's Paul. And they stoned Stephen, who was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The people stoning Stephen didn't say, hey, I've got this big rock. I'm fixing to hit you in the head with it. Now, I want you to forgive me because I'm aiming for your head. That's not what happened. They stoned him. And what did he say? He said, lay not this sin. So they were committing a sin to their charge. Stephen says the people sinned against him through their actions. Stephen asked God to forgive them for this sin against him. In verse 60. Same question. What about Jesus? Our example, Luke 22:23-34. And when they had come to this place, which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The people crucifying Jesus didn't ask Jesus for forgiveness. Jesus, I'm fixed to send a spear into your side. I want you to forgive me now before I do that. No, Jesus and Stephen forgave them, asked God to forgive them. They didn't ask for forgiveness. So how do we answer that question? Does someone have to ask for forgiveness before you're required to forgive them? The answer is no. The people sinned against Jesus with their actions. Jesus asked God to forgive them. Next question, if someone forgives someone else, should we forgive them also? Ever thought about that one? Let's suppose that we're aware of a situation where Bobby has sinned against Eric. It's a difficult situation and feelings are hurt. Eric forgives Bobby whether Bobby asks him for forgiveness or not. What is our stance in this situation? Let's go to the scripture. What does Paul have to say about this in Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 2:9 through 11. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I it in the presence of Christ, lest Satan could get advantage over us and we not ignorant of his devices. What's Paul saying? I understand you forgave this person. Because you forgave this person, I forgive them also. Does that not answer the question? Question, how often shall I forgive my brother? You know where I'm going with this one. Matthew 18:21-22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70, 7 times 70. 70 times 7. Does this mean when a brother sins against us 491 times, we don't have to forgive him anymore? Well, how absurd. We're not going to stand there and count it. Romans 3:23 states, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. How many repeated sins have we asked God for forgiveness in our life? 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Question, what is the impact on me if I don't forgive? We're in violation of Jesus' commandment of forgiving my brother until 70 times 7. Same scripture. We retain anger and wrath in our heart. This is a violation of James 1:20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's a violation of Colossians 3:8. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You must take the position of the positive and embrace the act of forgiveness on behalf of the other party so that you do not put your own soul in jeopardy. Question. What are the physical impacts of me if I don't forgive? A brother, sister, Christ, a close friend, family member, how will this affect us? And you judge this within yourself. Loss of sleep, disruption of sleep patterns. Think about the guy that did the study when we go through these. Muscle tension, headaches. I've seen people who get a headache because of the situation between someone and their family and them. Constant. Chest pain, fatigue, stomach upset, weight gain, weight loss. These are all symptoms of not being willing to forgive another. Failure to forgive creates stress. And that's what all of these things are. If you don't believe me, look up the word stress in the dictionary. What a question. What are the consequences of the person who didn't truly repent from the heart, but it was lip service only? We've already determined that God knows the heart. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If we don't truly repent, then Mark 7:21-23 says, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So what are the consequences of the person who didn't truly repent from the heart, but it's lip service? They're going to have trouble when it comes judgment day, because they're going to have to answer to God for the wrongs that they've done and how they have faked forgiveness, or asking for forgiveness. Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians 5:1-10, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Jesus is going to come back, isn't he? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that what? Obey not the gospel. Obey not the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So we mentioned the gospel. If you obey not the gospel. So what is that? What's the gospel? In our reading, hear the word. In the parable of the soldier, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Believe, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Repent, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Confession, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart, there's believe again, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And 2:38 tells us we need to be baptized. So in conclusion, forgiveness is a big thing. If I remember correctly, the concordance says it 460-something times in the Bible. It's not something that we should laugh about. It's not something we should take lightly. It will affect us emotionally and physically, as we've proven. And that's why forgiveness needs to be done right. That's why you can't carry this burden and not forgive those who have trespassed against you. So don't take it lightly. Hopefully this has been eye-opening and awareness to you about the subject of forgiving. So in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation song. If you have sinned publicly, then you publicly need to confess of those sins and ask God for forgiveness. We'll pray for you. If you have sinned privately, you take that to God privately in prayer and ask Him forgiveness and change, repent of the way that you were heading. But if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian and you desire to be baptized, there is water here that we can baptize you for the remission of your sins. If you're subject to that invitation, please come while we stand and sing.